This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril, and it's time for Popek Popek Parliament, which is our daily roundup of highlights from the Day One Rakyat.
Yep, that's right. So let's start off with an update on rare earth mining. Kuantan MP Fuzia Saleh asked a question about the approval to explore and extract rare earth elements in Kedah and other spots in the country. So this, of course, follows the news last week that the Menteri Besar of Kedah, Muhammad Sanusi Muhammad Noor, had already issued a permit to explore an alleged 52 billion ringgit worth of rare earth mining in the state. Energy and Natural Resources Minister Datuk Shamsul Anwar Nasara says that there won't be any mining happening until regulations and SOPs have been outlined.
Majlis Tanah Negara belum membincang secara terperinci berkaitan penerokaan dan pengeluaran rare earth element REE di Kedah dan di tempat lain dalam negara ini. Namun, Kementerian Tenaga dan Sumber Asli sedang membangunkan kerangka prosedur operasi standard SOP pelombongan unsur nadi bumi bukan radioaktif untuk memastikan pelombongan dijalankan secara mampan. Ini tidak bermakna kerajaan sudah bersedia untuk membenarkan pelombongan NRREE pada masa ini. Sebagai contohnya, kerajaan tidak akan membenarkan sebarang aktiviti pelombongan REE, terutamanya di kawasan hutan simpan kekal tanpa sebarang penilaian dan kelulusan teknikal. Ini bagi mengelakkan eksiden pencemaran yang boleh menjejaskan alam sekitar, sumber air dan kesihatan masyarakat, dan penting ialah kepentingan negara dan rakyat.
That was Energy and Natural Resources Minister Datuk Shamsul Anwar Nasara with the news that rare earth mining won't take place until SOPs have been decided on.
And moving on, a question was posed to Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin about whether the government has identified those who fall in the category of poor and then hardcore poor as a result of the MCO. And the Prime Minister was in the Day One today, so he was around to answer the question. And he admitted that the current system, IKASE, which is Malaysia's National Poverty Database System, does lack the capabilities to capture that data accurately. And so they'll be allocating resources to introduce a new system.
Bagaimana biasa, kita tahu bahawa sistem IKASIH ini telah pun dibangunkan sejak tahun 2007 lagi yang diuruskan oleh ICU ataupun MAMPU, unit penyelesaian pelaksanaan di bawah jabatan Perdana Menteri. Saya sedar bahawa sistem lama ini tidak berapa berkesan. Sebab itu langkah-langkah untuk memperkemaskan dengan penggunaan teknologi baru supaya data-data itu mestilah lebih tepat. Dan usaha dibuat untuk menentukan supaya kaedah baru akan digunakan atas nama IKASIH juga. Ya, tetapi tidak seperti IKASIH yang lama. Dan saya percaya bila kita laksanakan ini, maka segala maklumat yang terperinci di seluruh kawasan di negara kita, baik di bandar ataupun luar bandar ini, dapat kita kumpulkan. Dan dengan ada jawatan kuasa kabinet yang saya akan pimpin ini, kita akan pastikan supaya kumpulan-kumpulan sasar itu akan dapat kita bantu. Kita sediakan 68 juta untuk tahun hadapan untuk menaik tarafkan sistem pengkalan data IKASIH ini, Tuan Ketua.
You just heard Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin announcing that they will be spending 6.8 million ringgit to upgrade the IKASIH system.
So while we're on the subject of data collection, Klang MP Wong Shu Chi put forward a question about the 2020 population and housing census. Basically, she wanted to know how many households have completed their details in the on the e-census website. Here's Datuk Sri Mustafa Muhammad, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Economic Affairs, with an update on the figures.
Sehingga 6 Disember lalu, kita sudah membanci kira-kira 6.4 juta penduduk Malaysia. Ini merupakan 19.7% daripada anggaran penduduk sebanyak 32.7 juta orang. Dan kita jangka dalam tempoh 2-3 hari lagi, seramai 1.34 juta lagi akan melengkapkan butiran mereka dalam e-census banci 2020. Peratusan respons penduduk di seluruh negara yang terbaik ialah Putrajaya 79.9%, di Putrajaya, Perak 28.9%, Johor 28% dan Pulau Pinang 26%.
So that was Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamed, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Economic Affairs, saying that 19.7%, that's only 6.4 million Malaysian households, have completed the e-census. Mm. Hezril, have you done the census?
No, I have not. Have you?
No, neither have I. That's why
I wanted to talk about it.
I'm not
alone.
Yeah.
I'm not alone
no,
then.
I didn't think you would be. I also didn't think you'd done it. I think it's one of those things where, producer, Adeline Chung, has been on everybody's case on the team to complete it. And she's been reminding, but it's one of those things that I feel like I just keep putting off,
yeah,
and then I feel a sense of guilt every time I hear these numbers.
So I did get a postcard thing from the government in my mail. Did you get one too?
Yes, and okay. I have every intention, yeah. I swear, yeah, of filling it out. Yeah, if you're like us, you have 13 days left because they are targeting 30% of the population for the e-census, and they've actually extended the submission period to the 21st of December.
There we go.
So yeah, join us in this last minute completion of the e-census. Yeah.
We'll update you when we do it.
I don't think so.
Well, since we're on numbers though, There was, you know, more figures came up during today's Day One Rakyat sitting. The Minister of Women, Children and Community Development was asked to state the list of CPR, which is the contraceptive prevalence rate, which is essentially the proportion of women or their partners who currently use at least one method of contraception. Deputy Minister Dato' Siti Zailah Mohamed Yusof gave a breakdown based on ethnicity, state, age and education.
Kadar penggunaan kontraseptif CPR mengikut jantina, wanita berumur 15 hingga 49 tahun sekitar 50%, di mana Sarawak mencatatkan 47.1%, Perlis 45.5%, Perak 30.3%, dan seterusnya. Saya akan beri sebut Perlis. Ya. Dan begitu juga mengikut internet, China iaitu 62.1%, Melayu 50.6%, India 46.1%. Kadar CPR pula adalah lebih tinggi di kalangan mereka yang berumur antara 35 hingga 44 tahun berbanding dengan mereka yang lebih muda. Tidak banyak perbezaan terdapat dilihat mengikut tahap pendidikan wanita.
That was the deputy minister reporting that about half of the female population use contraceptives, and this is based on a 2014 study. She also had some figures on the fertility rates of Malaysian women, which has been steadily declining in the last four decades.
Jumlah kesuburan negara pula, TFR, telah menurun dengan pesat sejak 4 dekad lalu, dengan 4 orang anak pada tahun 1980 menurun kepada 3.0 anak pada tahun 2000 dan 2.1 anak pada tahun 2010. Dan berdasarkan laporan perangkaan 2019 menunjukkan bahawa TFR negara kini berada pada paras 1.8 pada tahun 2018. Jadi kadar jumlah kesuburan TFR ini mengikut negeri. Yang paling terendah kadar kesuburannya adalah Pulau Pinang 1.3% dan yang paling tinggi kesuburannya Kelantan 3.0% dan Terengganu 3.1%. TFR mengikut internet ialah Bumi Putera 2.4% paling tinggi, China, kaum China 1.1% dan India 1.3%.
So just to recap what the minister said, the current average fertility rate in Malaysia currently sits at 1.8 children per woman. Penang has the lowest fertility rate at 1.3, and the highest is in Kelantan and Terengganu with 3 and 3.1 respectively. According to the United Nations, 2.1 children per woman is considered replacement level fertility. That means a woman would need to bear at least 2.1 children for the population to exactly replace itself from one generation to the next.
And that's quite interesting, actually,
yeah,
because that leads quite neatly to the conversations we've been having about Malaysia becoming an aging population, because
yeah,
this is a
right.
part of that. So anyway, on to the subject of sports. Former Minister of Youth and Sports, Syed Saddiq, had a question about why sports operators haven't been able to open when other industries are allowed to operate, despite some of them actually being responsible for creating clusters that, even as we speak, are still ongoing.
Kerana wabak COVID, industri sukan teruk terkesan. Lebih teruk apabila ada industri yang tidak dapat pembelaan yang sewajarnya. Contohnya, community pengusaha padang bola sepak yang sampai hari ini tidak boleh beroperasi. Persoalan saya, bila kita nak benarkan mereka untuk beroperasi, khususnya apabila kerajaan telah pun membenarkan industri hiburan untuk beroperasi. Tetapi bagi industri pengusaha padang bola sepak yang teruk terjejas, sampai hari ini mereka tidak boleh beroperasi selepas berbulan-bulan. Top Glove contohnya, penyumbang besar, kluster teratai, kluster yang masih aktif. Tetapi masih ada kilang-kilang mereka yang masih boleh beroperasi. Tetapi bagi pengusaha padang bola sepak yang kecil-kecil ini, sampai hari ini tidak boleh beroperasi. Kenapa seperti ada dua darjat? Terima kasih, Yang Berhormat Senator.
Deputy Youth and Sports Minister Wan Ahmad Faizal Wan Ahmad then responded by outlining the SOPs by the ministry as well as the funds that they've allocated to help the sports sector.
Untuk makluman Yang Berhormat Muar, kita telah pun umumkan SOP yang terbaru daripada MKN berkenaan dengan penyertaan ataupun pelibatan orang awam di premis-premis sukan. Cumanya kita kena hadkan 50% daripada kapasiti penuh yang biasa ada dalam premis-premis sukan di padang dan sebagainya. Cuma seperti biasa, pertandingan tidak boleh dianjurkan, hanya latihan-latihan yang bersifat non-contact. Dan ini sedikit sebanyak dapat membantu mengurangkan liability kepada pengusaha premis-premis sukan yang ada di Malaysia. Walau bagaimanapun, kerajaan sangat prihatin dan kita pun menyediakan banyak dana-dana. Contohnya dana prihatin sukan yang kita bantu semua persatuan sukan sama ada di peringkat nasional hinggalah peringkat akar umbi. Dan kita juga dalam belanjawan baru-baru ini ada dana bersifat tekun sukan membantu pengusaha sukan yang terjejas akibat COVID-19. InsyaAllah akan datang kita akan pertimbangkan berkenaan dengan gelombang sukan yang mana masih dalam pertimbangan KBS dan MKN. InsyaAllah tahun depan kita harap yang terbaik buat pengusaha sukan.
That was Deputy Youth and Sports Minister Wan Ahmad Faizal Wan Ahmad. So Syed Siddiq did then take to Twitter to say that the funds allocated was for associations and it would not do any good for businesses in the industry, like the ones he mentioned, basically operators of football fields and the like.
Right. So before the MPs moved on to budget 2021 debates, the long-standing issue of that no confidence vote was brought up again.
Hez, let me just stop you right there and ask you, was there a no confidence vote today?
Today, no, there was not.
What a surprise.
That says it all, I think. So Jelutong MP RSN Rayer asked Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun if Pera Aduns could bring it to the State Legislative Assembly, then why couldn't the Dewan Rakyat, right? So here's a truncated mashup of that heated discussion.
Saya tidak tahu bagaimana usul percaya di Dewan dengan Negeri Perak ditangani oleh Speaker. Saya tak tahu peraturan mesyuarat mana dan di bawah kuasa apa ianya dinaikkan ke nombor satu. Saya tak tahu. Keputusan saya bukan membuat sesuka hati. Saya telah membuat research yang amat mendalam. Kuasa bukan di bawah tangan Speaker. It is standing order.
Speaker, you can act without fear or favour, Speaker. You are supposed to be the middleman, orang tengah.
Yang betul. Saya tak mau berdebat.
Speaker.
Saya dah dengar semua, perkara ni dah 4 bulan dah. Jadi saya rasa kita berhenti di sini saja. Saya faham pendapat saya tak diterima. Orang mengatakan saya sebagai pathetic dan sebagainya. Tapi pada asasnya itulah amalan dan convention Westminster demokrasi.
Tuan Yang di-Pertua kata perlu ada indication daripada pihak tertentu. Siapa yang sepatutnya kena beri indication ini?
Menteri lah.
Kalau menteri, saya rasa kerajaan. Sampai hari kiamat pun benda ini tak boleh akan naik ke Dewan.
Itu prosedurnya.
Tapi Speaker, dia ada conflict of interest. Dia sendiri, menteri tidak akan bangkitkan usul ini. Jadi ada...
Itu bukan hal saya. Itu bukan hal saya. I cannot proceed based on assumption. Okay?
All right, so that was Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun and several opposition MPs there. You heard a mix of different voices tussling over this repeated call for a vote of no confidence against the Prime Minister.
That was quite civil, actually, for a heated discussion.
Yeah, so it was very civil in tone, but very strong in language. So it's an interesting
strong
mix.
Emotions, yes. Mm. So aside from that, budget debates for the tourism ministry took place and it eventually passed with a block vote. 109 MPs from the ruling coalition supported the budget while 96 voted against. Meanwhile, the allocations for the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Community Development as well as the Ministry of Environment and Water were also passed via a simple voice vote.
And that's it for our Parliament wrap-up today. Just to recap, as always, a very busy collection of topics. So we talked about rare earth mining, more allocations for IKASE to have a better understanding of the state of poverty in the country, statistics on contraceptives and fertility rates, the 2020 census. We want to know if you filled up and what that was like, helping businesses in the sports sector. And finally, the fact that a vote of no confidence will not make its way into Parliament unless a minister brings it up, because that is the procedure. So yeah, if you have thoughts or questions, we want to hear them. That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. There'll be more Popit Popit Parliament coming your way tomorrow at 5 p.m. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.